Tequila, you smoothie, me ice cold pizza, cafe au lait, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Treat me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning.
Hello world, top of the morning to you. This is Dr. Faye Maureen Butler, the anointed voice. Welcome to Top of the Morning Inspirational Show, and thank you for listening in. Top of the Morning is presented by Holder's House Ministries Incorporated, a learning community encouraging, empowering, and educating believers. Dr. Faye Maureen Radio presents 90 Seconds of Inspirations and Voices of the Nation. Good Morning by Mandisa with Toby Mac opens the show.
Dr. Faye Maureen Radio presents Prayers of Agreement and Praying with Authority. Let's touch and agree. According to Matthew 18 and 19, there is power in agreement. In the name of Jesus, I agree with the godly time-ordered petitions of my sisters and brothers throughout the globe. Lord, we touch and agree with our brothers and sisters in Christ that revival will sweep across the globe. Lord, release rushing mighty revival winds throughout the earth to expand and to enlarge your kingdom and our churches. Lord Jesus, I am in agreement with our apostolic leaders that those who have been called to the different offices of fivefold ministry will accept the call, go through the process, and wait for you to commission them. Let apostles and prophets take their place. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us walk in our authority as believers. This scripture reference, Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We thank you on today for the authority you have given us as believers by granting unto us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. For whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I bind hopelessness and I loose hope against hope. I bind spiritual fatigue and I loose spiritual endurance. I bind spiritual apathy and I loose spiritual resilience. In the name of Jesus, I paralyze slothfulness and prayerlessness and I loose and release commitment to the ways of God. I release in the name of Jesus a desire to seek the things of God. We will not be ignorant of Satan's devices, traps, tricks, snares, or schemes. Let every strategy of hell against our lives be exposed and brought to light. Grant unto us strategies and tactics to identify and to resist plots and plans against our lives. Lord Jesus, lift up a standard against every flood the enemy would try to bring in our lives. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize open doorways in our lives where the enemy would try to infiltrate. I lose confusion against every satanic and demonic conspiracy that comes against the people of God. Let the secret counsel of the wicked be turned into foolishness. In the name of Jesus, I quench every fiery dart of competition, jealousy, and envy in the body of Christ. And I release kindness, meekness, respect, and celebration of others. In the name of Jesus, cut off the assignment of the Jezebel spirit and its many manifestations against ministers and ministry. Destroy all manifestations of the Jezebel spirit. Give the saints of God wisdom how to fight against this spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I loose and activate with acceleration, repentance, godliness, the prophetic anointing, the spirit of Elisha and Jehu, the gift of discerning of spirits, and the fire of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, break the spirit of deception. I bind barrenness and I loose increase. In the name of Jesus, I bind anxiety and stress and loose the peace of God that passes all understanding. We renounce the past habits that had us bound. And on today, we decree and we declare that we are delivered and we will stand fast and not be entangled again. This is our testimony. Cast down the high places that hinder us from fulfilling our purpose, completing our assignments, and giving birth to the destiny you have placed within each of us. In the precious name of Jesus, paralyze every demonic hindrance, delaying miracles for the saints. Let the God of suddenly arise for the people of God. In Jesus' name, paralyze every destiny-altering demon and demonic assignment plot that comes against the plan of God in our lives. Loose and release deliverance, victory, and sudden miracles for your people. Lord Jesus, release your angels with flaming swords to fight on our behalf in the heavenlies against these demonic princes. Let the power of the blood of Jesus be released in my life. I cover my mind and my thoughts with the blood of Jesus. I cover my doorposts and possessions with the blood of Jesus. I rebuke Satan, the accuser of the brethren, through the blood of Jesus. Lord, your word instructs us in Psalms 144 that you are my strength, which teaches my hands to warn, my fingers to fight. Make us ministers of fire. Help us to pray, to preach, to teach, to prophesy, and witness with fire. Lord Jesus, we thank you because as you did for your servant Daniel, you have come for our words. You have come for my words. So on today, Lord Jesus, I agree. We agree with your will for our lives, and we declare that no weapon, no hindrance, and no delay will stop us from pleasing you in everything we do. Weapons may form against us, but they will not prosper. And in Jesus' name, we evict discouragement from around us. We resist every attack of the enemy through the strength you've given in us. Lord, we thank you for teaching us how to walk in our authority as believers and to take authority every day. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture reading for today comes from Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, beginning at verse 14 in the King James Version. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping what thou hast not sown, and gathering what thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord is blessed on today.
And you are listening to Top of the Morning Inspirational Show, sponsored by Dr. Faye Maureen Radio. The inspirational selection for this morning is Greater by Mercy Me. Our morning interview is Mr. Trent Rhodes, an up-and-coming author and outstanding writer.
Bring your tithes and bring your shame, bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world.
Hi, this is Dr. Faye Maureen. Follow me on social media. My social media handle is Dr. Faye Maureen. That's right. Across all social networking sites, it's one word, Dr. Faye Maureen. DrFayMaureen. My blogs or my GoTellit weekly electronic newspaper, my book Breadcrumbs, and spoken word CDs can be easily accessed via my mobile app for iPhones, iPads, and Androids. Just type in I am Dr. Faye. My mobile app handle once again is I am Dr. Faye, or you can type in Dr. Faye. You can always visit Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble for the book, or CD Baby, iTunes, and Amazon for my prayers and additional spoken word products. Thank you for your support. And we are so happy to have with us on top of the morning radio show a dynamic author and up-and-coming author, Mr. Trent Rose. We're just glad to have him with us on this morning. And he is an educator, and he acknowledges that the word educate means to bring forth. It's an awareness and use of the potential already within students. And he's a coach, he's an advisor, he's a mentor, and the vision he has had has just compelled him to want to introduce a new educational path for broken industry. So I am so excited to talk to you this morning, Trent. Thank you so much for being on the show with us on this morning.
Yes, happy to be here.
Good, 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 good. So tell the audience just the title of your book and what the purpose of your book is.
Sure. The title is The Survive and Thrive Handbook, and it was really inspired by my experience as a student in higher education and also working in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I've acquired my undergrad degree in marketing.
Okay.
And I spent about four and a half years acquiring the degree, and then moved on to obtain my master's degree in management. And so a combination of on-campus and online formats.
Mm-hmm.
During my master's program, I also worked at the University of Phoenix. And so that was really where I was able to start to notice a gap between the development for the student, whereas the student would develop academically,
mm-hmm.
and they then would not acquire certain communication skills or soft
right.
skills
right.
that I noticed really were essential to their growth as a human being, in addition to being an academic with a high GPA. I then moved on to the Art Institute of New York City, and from there I became a student employment advisor, and this really sharpened my eye because the main focus of the role was to help students find part-time jobs.
Right.
And
wow.
part-time work was very difficult for some students to acquire because they did lack this connection to the soft skills or developmental skills. Once I realized that there was this hole, there really was a niche I noticed for someone to create a guide where students can navigate the college system as early as possible.
Yes.
And so the Survive and Thrive Handbook is really a guidebook, and I map out actually where students can benefit as early as the high school junior to senior level, all the way into the college freshman to sophomore, preferably. They'll
yeah.
know exactly the resources to look for. They can look for particular contacts. They'll know the types of organizations to seek out, why their student government organization is very essential to their personal growth, even down to the particular courses that the students may want to take so that they can expose themselves to developing better communication skills and really learning how to take ownership of their education.
Wow, wow. Well, you know what? You are talking my kind of language because I'm sure you know I'm also in higher education, have been in higher education, and actually some of what you're speaking about this morning is some of the research I've looked into. So it is such an important conversation when you talk about how students kind of enter the process
and they probably need direction in, and then they don't get the, as you said, the necessary soft skills. Do you think it was really the combination of your undergrad, graduate experience, and what's going on now that really kind of pushed you? You talked about that a little, but kind of pushed you. It seems like you have a passion now. It's really a passion to get this message out to students, and I would say up-and-coming students and possibly even their family members.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm a self-learner by temperament, and so while I was in school, I would take classes, but I would also do my own research, you know, and I found that doing my own research actually enhanced my learning. The college environment became the playground, whereas my personal learning became the actual really tough work. And just studying my personal experience from a lot of the people who are eminent in their fields, I've come to realize that when they do take advantage of their own education, they kind of own it. It's their responsibility. They kind of go beyond the normal trajectory of their program. And so I was really, really motivated very young to seek self-study. And so what I realized is that what if the students can perform the same journey, really if they're interested in medicine or law, the program itself really doesn't matter. It's more so of how does the student take advantage of the system of learning. How can they improve how to learn? Because then no matter what they're choosing, they can enhance themselves.
Right. And you're listening to Trent Rhodes on Top of the Morning Inspirational Show, sponsored by Dr. Faye Maureen Radio. So now, what do you really feel really now about, I guess, what we would call the current college environment? And I'm including four-year, two-year special schools. Is it really helping the students? And I'm talking about the students, I guess, perhaps who are coming into colleges with maybe just some, you know, deficiencies. They just don't have the skills. So give us your perspective really just on the entire college environment.
Yeah, I really think that the college environment is, I don't think it's a detriment. I really do think that once utilized properly, you know, or utilized with a particular set of eyes, the resources are there. And it's just a matter of where the students are looking, how are they looking, what to target so that they can make the best of the experience. I do acknowledge that some colleges or universities may have more resources than others, but I still wouldn't see that as a limitation for the student. And that's where I really push for the students to really take ownership of this process, because, you know, the professors, they have their degrees and they have their experience already. It's really an environment for the students to grow. And having really a passive attitude or passive temperament about the process, you know, you get what you really, really put in. I can say that my undergrad was in marketing, but, you know, I loved other subjects as well. I was studying psychology, and I was studying metaphysics, and I was interested in philosophy and world civilizations and the great leaders. And, you know, that was more of a drive that I took upon myself to learn. And what I realized was there was a feedback experience. The more that I learned about these things, the more I understood that these topics intertwined and connected. So at that point, it was really no matter what class I was entering, I was learning something, because I realized that all of these topics are connected. You know, the philosophies and the sciences, there's a connection, there's a oneness to this learning. And the feeling that I can actually control this process by taking it upon myself to learn really was an empowering experience. And this is a lot of the reason why I was driven to write this book and share this perspective, or seeing with this particular set of eyes on how to create this kind of system for themselves.
So if students are going to understand about the whole idea of taking ownership, I would say even students and their parents, about taking ownership of this process and being able to get their degree and maybe make right career choices, what are some of the nuggets from your book that they should really take? You know, what are the advantages of your book? If they're really going to understand this whole idea of the ownership, I'm taking ownership of the process of my education and managing and negotiating my education career that will potentially lead to whatever my career choices are. What are some of the nuggets from your book?
Sure. One is definitely taking an interest and giving time to finding out what the talent is. Mm-hmm. Now, once they discover what their tendency is or their talent or what they feel that they're good at, this will set a very strong direction for that purpose.
Okay.
Also,
okay.
Within the book, students can learn to design a plan or set goals. In the back of the book, there's a manual that students can write down one or two contacts that they can reach out to, particular courses that they can take. So not only is it more conceptual in the beginning, but towards the end, students can actually apply, so they can refer back to this manual time and time again. Another nugget is to treat everything as a resource,
wow,
and that not to take the experiences for granted. I highlight the new student orientation as one of the most critical points for the beginning student, because this is where they will immediately be exposed to major contacts as well as resources throughout the environment.
Excellent. You just said a key word to me, orientation, but this is really a critical work that you've done, and I've known some others who've kind of done similar work. So before we say goodbye, share with the audience where they can find your book, any contact information, website if you have it, so they know how to reach out to you, not just about your book, but if they want to get you to come in and do a workshop. Share with the audience some of your details.
Sure. I can be reached at imtrentrhodes.com. And that is my headquarters site, so there visitors will learn that I also do consulting, and I also do copywriting. So from there, they can also find my blog, boldmastery.com, which is geared towards assisting students in small ways with quick tips on how to become more successful in the college experience.
Excellent. So once again, audience, you heard him. You can contact him. Just get to imtrentrhodes.com. This is really a dynamic work, and I would encourage all of you to get his work, to go to his website. And, Trent, I am so happy you were able to be on the show with us this morning, and I hope we can continue our conversation and our networking, because we're in the same field and we have the same kind of passion. So I certainly look forward to talking with you, offline and continue some networking. But thank you so much for being on Top of the Morning radio show with us on this morning. And we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you, Dr. Fay. It was a pleasure.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Saturday Night Sunday School with Illinois First Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. Sunday School every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Central. The number is 1-605-475-3235. Again, that number is 605-475-3235, and the access code 170-045-pound. The access code, once again, is 170-045-pound. If you are on Facebook, you can look them up at Illinois First, page number 2. And if you have not had the opportunity ever to join Saturday Night Sunday School, I would strongly encourage you to do so. The lessons are taught by outstanding teachers from around the U.S., and the audience listens in from all over the world. That's Saturday Night Sunday School with Illinois First Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. And you're listening to Top of the Morning Inspirational Show with Dr. Fay Maureen, your host, and is sponsored by Dr. Fay Maureen Radio, Division of Holder's House Ministries, Incorporated. And we thank you for listening in. We thank all of our loyal listeners. We are getting ready to go to 90 seconds of inspiration, and then we'll hear a very short selection, Great is Thy Faithfulness by Troy Sneed. And on this week, I'm going to play part of a lesson I was privileged to teach for Illinois First Saturday Night Sunday School some weeks ago on Gifts of the Spirit. That was the Sunday School lesson. So I'm just going to play part of the recording of that lesson, Gifts of the Spirit. And on the next episode, we'll give you part three of the Toolbox series for those of you who are looking for that. So in that order, 90 Seconds of Inspiration, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and then Gifts of the Spirit.
Dr. Faye Maureen Radio presents 90 Seconds of Inspirational Moments. 3 moments, a storm you didn't ask for, you have been rejected, and in times, scars fade, pain lessons. A storm you didn't ask for. You may be in the middle of Euroclydon, the story of Acts 27. A storm you didn't ask to go through, but you will get to Rome, your place of destiny. And along the way, God will demonstrate His might and power with signs and wonders following you. You have been rejected. You, your message, and methods may have been rejected, but God will send you to new places and to those who are waiting for you. This is the hour of your new assignment, new covenants, new friendships, and many will look like you and some will be multilingual. In time, scars fade, pain lessons. In time, scars fade, pain lessons. Recently, I had a bad fall, scrapes, bruises. I hurt my knee. At the impact of the injury or when I sustained the various wounds, it was very painful. I noticed that as time passed by, I saw the scars, but my ability to manage the pain and discomfort improved. We will all experience hurt, pain, and wounds. We will stumble, fail, and yes, even fall. Get up and let God soothe the scars and heal the pain. 90 Seconds of Inspirational Moments, Dr. Faye Maureen Radio.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning, new mercy. All that I need is thy hand has provided. Grace, I pray. Oh Lord,
so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and we thank you. As we lead and instruct this lesson, give me clarity of thought. Hide me behind the cross. Let me not be presumptuous. Bless those who are listening and now and those who may listen later. Increase their wisdom and revelation knowledge. Stir up the teaching gift and the diversity of teaching styles amongst the listening audience. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I set up the lesson, I always say this, try to keep your students engaged and be certain that by the end of the lesson they have some kind of takeaways or one or two or three nuggets that they can take with them. So the title of our lesson is Gifts of the Spirit. So let me set the lesson up. And those of you who have heard me teach before, I generally kind of go through the lesson aim and the light on the word. And I am going to get to that. But on tonight, because this is the Gifts of the Spirit and it's a very important lesson, I'm first going to do something I call a pre-lesson foundational summary. And in that summary, I'm going to include it's under a topic called a current climate. I have just a couple of orienting statements under that. And then I'm going to review the other gift listings not discussed today. I think all of you who are teachers on the line, we must understand and realize that once we start any conversation about the gifts of the Spirit, we must be well-versed in the other gift listings in the Bible just to be able to talk about them or answer some questions. So, and then after that, I'll go to the Bible truth, the scriptures, the memory verse, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing I wanted to say is a teaching bullet. It's important always to circle back. When you have the opportunity to instruct, like, audiences via these conference lines, web-based technologies, understand that you have a diverse audience. those who may chime in and out and who may not have the material. So this is the primary reason that I try to teach from the lesson outline when I do Saturday Night Sunday School, and I try to circle back or mention the main points of the outline. I personally find it useful to organize my thoughts and themes around the template given. But let me say this. If I don't do that tonight, please forgive me. It's just because of the volume of the content and the material that I have. And I'm going to hurry up or slow down. I do have the outline, and I'm going to post it as a note, or we're going to share it. So even if you're taking notes, don't worry if you don't get anything. I have the outline with the references as well. So let me begin. So with the pre-lesson foundational summary, the current climate, these are just some orienting statements. The outpouring of the Spirit is the first one, Acts 2:17-18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The second orienting statement is called walking authority. So when you pray, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus. And I want you to remember these authoritative words. You need to bind, evict, forbid, paralyze, rebuke, and renounce. Then you need to loose, release, overturn, call forth, decree and declare. Learn how to press into prayer, pull down strongholds, push back against attacks, and persevere unto victory. So that's press in, pull down, push back, and persevere. Now, my third orienting statement under this theme I'm calling the current climate. There are no glass ceilings in God. He requires that we abandon our will for the sake of the kingdom. He will pour out of his Spirit upon you. Matters not your race, ethnicity, country of origin, or gender. Just say, yes, Lord, and continue to separate yourself unto God. Let a great revival sweep the earth where salvation, miracles, signs, and wonders dominate. Sometimes our dogma, traditions, ways, church culture hinder us. So that's how I'm beginning this lesson. That was just some orienting statements under the current climate. So what does really the Bible say? So here's one section I'm going to give you, biblical summary about spiritual gifts. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, 1 Peter 4:10. No Christian has all the gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:28-30. We cannot choose our gifts. God does that job. That's 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Believers will account to the Lord for how they use their gifts. Again, that's 1 Peter 4:10. Spiritual gifts indicate God's call and purpose for a Christian's life. Romans 12:2-8. Gifts used without love do not accomplish God's intended purposes. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Spiritual gifts are for the common good to build up the body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. So that section was biblical summary about spiritual gifts. The next section is biblical guidelines for using spiritual gifts. Usage of the gifts should conform to biblical teaching. And I have a whole slew of scriptures that I'll include in my outline. There's affirmation and positive feedback within the body of Christ with the expression of the gift, that person who's operating in that gift. Then there is agreement within the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is at work. 1 John 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 5:21. The Holy Spirit provides peace in our spirits as we offer our gifts to the body of Christ. John 15:26, Romans 8:16. There is evidence of godly fruit in the life of the body. That's John 15:8. Then believers offer their gifts for the common good as others have need. And again, unless gifts are offered in love, they really don't have much worth. Then finally, we should strive to live a life worthy of our calling. That's Ephesians 4:1. Excuse me. So that was just a little section that, you know, part of my pre-lesson foundation. So now, let me move on to review of the gifts or the listings that are not covered in the gifts of the Spirit that we'll be discussing in a little while. So let me say this. Many commentaries on the gifts and ministries of the Spirit divide the gifts and the gifts listings into the following. The nine spiritual gifts generally are divided into the gifts of revelation, gifts of inspiration, and the gifts of power. And that's the model I'm going to use a little bit later. Then there are the service gifts or the serving gifts. That's from the Romans verse that I'll give you. And then the ministry offices, the fivefold ministry. So I'm going to first talk a little bit about the fivefold ministry, and then we'll talk about what we call the practical service gifts, and then we'll really get to the Sunday school outline. And don't worry, Elder Peyton, I got a big screen in front of me with the time, so I'm watching the time. I got this. All right, so now the fivefold. What is fivefold ministry? The whole concept of fivefold ministry comes from Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:12-13 tells us that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are special designation of heaven's authority in individuals to protect, to guide, to build, and expand the kingdom in a regular and continuous manner. And each office has a distinct role and purpose. So, you know, I'm not going to kind of get into more details other than that. But I will say this, that no one person kind of walks in all fivefold. The only one who did that was Jesus Christ. And if we want to see the Lord Jesus in terms of fivefold ministry, Christ our apostle, Hebrews 3:1 is a reference scripture. Christ our prophet, Luke 24:19. Christ our evangelist, Matthew 9:35. Christ our pastor or shepherd, 1 Peter 5:2-4, and Christ is our teacher, John 3:2. And so we should understand, just have a basic understanding of fivefold ministry and understand that it's to build up the work of the ministry. Because if you really review Ephesians 4:11-13 and how it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, verse 11, really what it says is that what it tells us is that these five ministry gifts are not merely titles. They're not titles, as many people are fighting for, but ministry functions. They have a special purpose, which is clearly defined in verse 12 from Ephesians 4. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the purpose is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. These five leadership gifts are given so for the work of the ministry. And the whole timetable, the operational time frame, it says until we all reach unity in the faith. So that's kind of a little basic covering on fivefold ministry. And again, I say to the teachers that since you're going to be dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, you should really be familiar with the other gift listings, I'm going to call it, in the Word. And then there's 1 Corinthians 12:28, and it says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now I know there's a lesson coming in a few weeks on diversity of tongues, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and move to the practical serving gifts list, and I won't cover prophecy in that list and some of the others because we're going to speak to those either in the list I'm about to cover right now or in the 9 spiritual gifts. This is just for the sake of time, so I get through my entire outline. Churches, ministries, small businesses, do you need assistance with social media content creation and social media campaigns? Just contact GoTellIt, communications consultant, at GoTellItForHim@gmail.com. The email again is GoTellItForHim@gmail.com. That's GoTellIt, him@gmail.com. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Top of the Morning Inspirational Show, sponsored by Dr. Faye Maureen Radio. Our next selection is My Help Cometh from the Lord by Evangelist Twinkie Clark. And then we're going to have our Voices of the Nations segment. And this week it is our Voices of the Nations regular contributor, Apostle Faithman Agweda from Nigeria, teaching Signs and Wonders, Part 1.
My help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord.
Now, science works with facts. What can be verified? The birth of Jesus was supernatural. He's called the child of the Holy Ghost. And because his birth was supernatural, our faith is supernatural. And nothing can successfully come against our faith. Your faith in God has the potential to deal with any issue. Your faith in God is a supernatural substance. It has the ability to shift, to cause a change in the lives of people. And God responds to faith action. That was why in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 he said, "He that cometh to God must believe." Believing is a manifestation of faith. I said what? Believing is a manifestation of faith. Or we can say that believing is an expression that of faith. It's an expression of faith. He said, "He that cometh to God must." You don't negotiate it. And in believing, there is no reasoning. If you allow your reasoning to come into believing God, you may miss God. And a lot of people have missed God because of reason. They use reason as a parameter. This is the right thing to do. Because it's right doesn't make it God. That something is right does not mean God. We need to get this knowledge that something is right doesn't mean God. That something is good doesn't make it God. Something can be good in the eyes of men, but before God it's not acceptable. That was why the Bible said in Romans, "Be ye transformed, that you will know what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." These are dimensions of direction. If we are going to be led by the Spirit, there is what is good, there is what is acceptable, and there is the perfect will of God. And God wants you to live your life within the neighborhood of His perfect will. His perfect will is greater than your reason. So we're not going to go by reason. Those who walk by faith don't go by reason. You're trying to reason this out, and God said move this way, but you are trying to reason it out. We are not going to go by reason. We are going to go by faith. If Abraham had gone by reason, he couldn't have taken a step. Because you begin to reason it, how do I get to the place God is calling me to go to? A life of signs and wonder begins with having the revelation of who God is. I said a life of signs and wonder begins with having a revelation knowledge of who God is. We can also put it this way, the revelation of the Christ in you is the foundation for a life of signs and wonder. The revelation of the Christ in you, the knowledge of the personality that dwells in you, becomes the foundation for boldness. You can't speak false when you're ignorant of who you are in Christ. You can't speak false. Your words cannot produce results when you're ignorant of your identity. So the revelation of who you are in Christ is an empowerment for the miraculous. It's an empowerment for a life of miracles. You see, you can't take away miracles from Christianity. Miracles are supernatural expressions. They are beyond natural understanding. In medical science, if somebody died, he has died. And if somebody died in the scripture, his name was called Lazarus. And Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus. And a lot of people were there. What did he say? He said, "Lazarus, come forth." When Jesus spoke, his words were not ordinary. It carried supernatural ability. It was that ability that gave life to the body. Gave life to the body and returned back the spirit of Lazarus.
There is an army rising up, calling all Kojic saints to volunteer for the Missions Army. Bishop Vincent Matthews and the World Missions Department request your assistance. There is an assignment for you. Follow Kojic World Missions on Facebook or go to www.kojic.org website and click on Ministries and look for the Missions icon. Thank you, and we look forward to your support.
And we certainly thank you for listening in to Top of the Morning Radio Show on this morning. We thank you for your support. And we, as we always say, we just want you to remember this. Promote God, the gospel, and good things. Top of the morning to you. As Joe Pace and the Colorado Mass Choir take us out with our gospel selection of the morning singing, Stir Up the Gift. Be blessed. Until next time.